It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hey, everyone, welcome to another jam-packed edition of The Mark Lloyd Show, right here on 93.3 in Tallahassee. We're talking sports with you, mainly college and NFL football, as we do each and every week. We appreciate you joining us every single Saturday, bright and early in the morning. Hopefully we get your day going on the right foot, I guess you could say. A jam-packed show, as always, lots of college football to talk about, lots of NFL football to talk about. Our entertainment segment's coming up later on with the debut of The Walking Dead last Sunday. And, of course, we have a fitness tip and a water check. So, there's a whole bunch of stuff to get to. Let's bring in the crew. Similar Bill, how are you?
Hey, raring to go. I'm looking forward to Cardinal.
There you go. And Terminus Eric is feeling terminal right now, but that's okay. He's in the house. Terminus?
I'm here. What's up, everybody?
Hey, there you go.
Hey, he that's gave what a we got last week.
That's an improvement from last week. So we are moving in the right direction, my friend. And similar Bill, as we always do in our first segment, we talk generic college football, what happened last week, some, and then of course we look ahead to this week in college football. Our second segment, there's always Florida State talk, and then in the third segment, we dive into Mark Lloyd's locker room, Bucks report, and then of course in the last segment, we get into the water check, fitness tip, NFL action, and our entertainment segment. But let's kick things off. Last week in college football, once again, it was a topsy-turvy day. We're going to get into the Florida State-Miami game in our Florida State segment. But Oklahoma falls to Texas, and it's just every week, everything gets shaken up. So sometimes you have to have faith, even for the Florida State fans out there, that yes, we get screwed every single week in a poll, but you have to figure that somebody's going to stumble. And last week, Bill, big game Bob falls to that University of Texas, who is just not very good. And Oklahoma gets the same hype every year, it seems, at least for the last 3 years, like they're going to be playing for a title, and then it's always a wake-up call.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's interesting. For some reason this time around, I actually was feeling Texas was going to do something. I don't know why. I mean, maybe it was just desperation. They were in desperation mode, and just like you said, there are times when Oklahoma gets on what we call cruise control and kind of does what I'll say some football teams do that think they're really better than they are. And that's not to say they're not good, but on any given, Thursday through Saturday now, the way we play college football. I was going to say Saturday. But any given Thursday through Saturday, you can see the wrong side of the scoreboard. And FSU's got to watch out for it this week because, everyone's after this last, big thing with Miami, everyone's going to say the same thing about us and Dalvin this and that. We better have our heads screwed on and put the pants on one leg at a time and not just think we can show up, or you will find the wrong side of the scoreboard, especially in these type of games. And Louisville's already proven before they can beat us. So, it's not like that's it hasn't happened. It happened up there not long, too long ago. But we better have our head on right because they're coming here to wage war on our boys.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, and so we'll get into the Louisville Florida State game. So similar Bill, also there was some huge news. I mean, really, really big news this past week in college football. I want to talk about two big items before we get into what I really call is kind of a playoff Saturday shakeup this coming Saturday with the games that are going to be played. But number one, the good old Gators. Everybody thinks things are going crazy in Tallahassee. Tallahassee gets the bad rap, but boy, it's been the wild, wild west in Florida ever since Urban Meyer's been there. Yeah. And the arrests and the track record of all that has been proven over the last 7 years. They might not win the title of actually being the national champion in college football, but they seem to win the title year in and year out almost for most incidences and most distractions off the field in Gainesville. This past week, the quarterback, Will Grier, gets suspended for the whole year because he's taking PEDs. And then also their defensive back is holding a gun to his pregnant girlfriend's head. I mean, what is going on in Gainesville, Seminoleville?
Well, you know, regardless, you know, we don't wish ill will on anybody, but, you know, it comes to you. You know, no matter what you do in this day and age, there's just too many things that happen. No matter intentions, no matter what you want to say about a program, we've been through it. The Gators have been through it in the past. Miami's been – all of our state schools have been through this. And there are others out there that, you know, in other parts of the nation have been through it. The bottom line is some negativity is there. Unfortunately, you know, for Grier, I'll just say this. We don't know the full story. It's interesting to me that, I mean, he seems very sincere and genuine that he didn't want to do anything that, you know, that could affect your program. But you and I both know, Mark, that, you know, you've got trainers and people over the top of people over the top of the people who are supposed to look at anything you put in your body as an athlete when you're
That's
here at FSU. And, you know, there's rules and regulations for everything. And unfortunately, this one is a very stringent one that the NCAA does not look at favorably, and I feel for the young man. He's a foe, but still, you know, you look at that and you say, you know, that's a shame. It's a very strict punishment. You know, all I'm going to say is facts will shake themselves out in this situation. It's odd to me again that there were people on the Gator message board making statements about the suspension before it occurred. That's interesting to know that someone knew already in a place of high authority, which leads you to wonder if they knew that, then why was he playing?
That's right. No, you're very good, excellent point right there. And you know what, Senator Bill, that's one of the things. I'm like the NCAA on that. They make it quite clear. And the coaches do at every university. They tell you, before you go to your local GNC, before you go anywhere, just like in the NFL, before you go and do something, run it by whoever that person is or run it by the NCAA. I mean, there's somebody that's always there to do something for you. So you go to your trainer, you tell the trainer, and then you specifically ask the trainer, get in contact with the compliance officer, run this by, you're good or you're not good. You don't take a chance. They know that. And it is a shame for just the football player in general. But the bottom line is he did it. He's suspended. Now they're going to rely on Treyon Harris. And Will Grier is playing good football. The other stuff, Seminole Bill, was
there's no
Steve Spurrier.
Stuff. Forgive me for saying. The other incident there.
Oh, forget that.
And you know, we've had some headlines about domestic and all that. And some, you know, the one that proved itself, that person's no longer here, you know, as a student athlete. The others, you know, did not pan out that way. Those things are different. They're not always going to come under the guise of the NCAA. They come under, you know, rules specific for each school. But I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but going forward, go right
ahead. You're right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There's no excuse on that. But Steve Spurrier, he walks away in the middle of the week. He's resigning. He's not retiring is what the old ball coach said. And you know what, I think back to my career of following college football and just, you know, Coach Spurrier and everything. And one time, you know, being part of the media, covering him a lot too. But what I guess I went from I could not stand the guy to I was indifferent to I kind of liked him for the character that he was. And it's guys like that help make college football good and interesting. And I will miss his quotes. I did get a kick out of when he would talk and everything. And so I think he'll be missed, Seminoleville.
Oh, no doubt. And the same way that you say, you know, when you're going against a coach like that, you know, and he's at a rival school, obviously, you know, you look for anything to dislike the other team. He gave you plenty of ammo. But it was always wonderful to hear his take. He's a brilliant mind in the coaching field, no matter what you think of him or who team he's playing for. He changed the way college football was played. He brought the high flying, you know, act to, you know, from the Tampa Bay Bandits into college football. You know, he won at Duke, which, good Lord, had, you know, very few people win at Duke in terms of
That's
football.
Right.
He won at Florida, won his title there. As a player, he did outstanding. He won, you know, with South Carolina and changed the culture of their football as well. So he's made an impact everywhere he's gone. Tough for a guy like that to deal with what he's dealing with right now. It's hard for a guy that breeds winning and breeds a winning attitude and all, you know, just, you know, give it all you got, 100%. It's hard for him, I'm sure. A lot of talk as to whether he's quitting on his team versus doing what he really thinks is right by getting out of the way, so the culture doesn't lose the value he put into it. It's a tough decision either way, but I'll give him his due. You always want to play one of the top minds. You like to see what your guys can do against that, and he's always been at that level. And yes, if he stays out of football, and I'm not going to say he will because he made it very clear he wasn't retiring but just resigning, but if he stays out of football, he will absolutely be missed because he was a brilliant mind and gave you plenty to hang your hat on at the end of the day when you're looking for a quote. So he was great.
Yeah, that is the fact right there, is that he would always give you a quote. All right, so people, let's jump on the field. I the reason I call it shakeup Saturday when it comes to the playoff race, really what I'm saying is that this Saturday will weed out some of the teams at the top now that are gunning for a playoff spot at the end of the year. But I must put an asterisk next to it. It will weed out all teams not in the SEC, because the SEC, you're able to lose 1, 2, 3 games and still be in the conversation. Everybody else, one game and you're done. So I put that asterisk next to it. And the reason I do is because two of the bigger games of high-ranked teams that are ahead of in the top 10 in the playoff chase is Bama versus Texas A&M. So what's your thoughts on that game, first of all?
Well, you know, Bama's back, according to everyone that you hear. I mean, they look a lot better. They looked a little bit more direct the way they're approaching their games now, and they're getting back to, you know, balanced attack. You know, they've got the quarterback situation solved, I believe. They're going to stick with what they got. They should. And if they can just keep the running game, you know, tight against – if they can make yards on the ground, then that sets up their whole attack. They really need to be a run team first, with play action pass and things of that nature going on, and then getting the defense involved and getting to the football to stop the opponent. If they can keep playing that type of Saban-esque football, then – They're going to be in the mix. There's no way to keep them out. There's just too much behind the machine.
What about the game against A&M? Do you think they're going to knock off Texas A&M at Texas A&M?
Sure do, because I think Texas A&M has not really shown, to me anyway, that they're the same kind of team that they were in the previous years that could handle Alabama. I just don't see it yet. I know a lot of people are going to say they're steamrolling. I'm telling you that, at least from my seat, that I don't see that air of confidence they had with Johnny, you know, down there playing ball.
Sure, sure. Well, last year they didn't have any confidence. They lost 59-0.
That's right.
To Alabama, so, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And Bama is favored, you know, some of the bill, though. I know you don't really follow the spread, but you're thinking the same way Vegas does, because they have Bama favored on the road, laying 4 points at Texas A&M.
Right,
so that's really interesting. Also, the other SEC matchup are those Sorry Gators from Gainesville, with Treyon Harris being the quarterback right now, taking on an LSU team at Tiger Stadium at Death Valley at night, where nobody comes in there and all that garbage they always love to say about LSU. Then teams come in there and beat them at home, but they continue to say it. But can Florida, with their defense that is really good — Florida's defense is always good, it has been solid for years now — are they going to be able to shut down Fournette and make Brandon Harris throw the football? Who wins that game?
This is a really, really tough game. There's a lot of emotion for a lot of reasons on both sides. I think you have to take LSU at home because of Fournette. But here's the deal. I don't think you're. I don't think this week is the week that Fournette, you know, runs up down the field for 3, 4, 5 touchdowns and breaks records for, you know, rushing yards. I think they will control him better than most. They have the speed and the athletes on the defense side of the ball to shut him down from making those 200 and 300 yard games. He's going to get some yardage, and you know he's going to get 100+ more than likely. But if you can keep him from changing the scoreboard, you know, 3 or 4 times, then you're in the ball game. Even with Treyon Harris, you're just going to have to put something together that's a package that he can run and win your matchups. Do I think the Gators win? No, I think they lose probably by a touchdown.
I got that. That's very interesting. Now Vegas has LSU -7.5 points, so you're spot on, Seminoleville, as always. And I agree with you 100% on that. I think that LSU's defense is good enough to stop Florida's offense. I think Florida's defense is good enough to stop LSU's offense, but I do think Fournette might get that touchdown or two, and I think this is a low-scoring game the way Florida played against Missouri. I think it's a 17-10 victory for LSU, and they come out on top. And we'll see where they drop Florida. I bet you if Florida loses in a close one, they'll drop them right before Florida State, regardless of whatever Florida State does. The Noles can stay at number 11. By the way, Seminole Bill, you do know that ESPN put out their top 10 and not the 11 this week.
Well, they got too many complaints about putting out 11, so they just went back the old way, right?
Yeah. Oh, there you go. That's a nice way of putting it. And then the other big thing, out of the Big Ten, Seminole Bill, and that is Michigan State comes in at number 7th in the country. And they're going to the Big House to take on Michigan, who is 12th now, 5-1 on the year, 3 consecutive shutouts, which hasn't happened in college football for like 100 years. Yeah. I think it's been like 50 years. Michigan, who would have seen this? Michigan is favored by 7.5 points over Michigan State. Wow. Jim Harbaugh has done wonders. Nobody can tell me any different. What happens in this game, Seminoleville?
Michigan exposes Sparty. That's what happens in this game. Michigan is playing with a lot of emotion, and you know what? Nobody.
That's interesting you said that Michigan's going to expose Michigan State and not Michigan State's going to expose Michigan. So I think it's really interesting because somebody's going to get exposed. So I wonder, you're saying it's going to be Michigan State. Yeah. The jury's out for me right now.
Yeah, Boy, I'm going to tell you, the guys are playing with reckless abandon. When you start seeing those goose eggs, I don't care who you're playing. When you see goose eggs up on the board, you know, your defense is you know, doing all it needs to do. You know, like a favorite old coach of ours used to say, boys, if they don't score, we win. And that's what's going to happen. And I'm telling you, when you don't score, you know, you don't have to be lucky. Just field goal wins. We had a 3-0 game last week, didn't we?
Wow. That's right. Yeah.
Wonderful league.
You're absolutely right.
But great defensive battle. But that's what happens. I mean, these guys have got confidence. Good Lord. I mean, bravo, Mr. Harbaugh. What a job you have done. I mean, you know what? If you're a Michigan fan, would you ever have expected this already? I mean, really?
No. Never in a million years.
One of the great hires of all
time. You know, you wanted this year, Seminole Bill? You wanted about 8 wins, go to a bowl game. And those 8 wins, you're looking at it going, you know what? We could maybe have won a few of those losses. We could have won a couple of those games, but that's okay because, boy, I know we're moving in the right direction, and now it's all about recruiting.
Man.
Right?
When he's able to do this with everybody else's guys, look out when he starts recruiting his own dudes. He's a tough cookie.
That's right.
Great respect.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. All right, Senator Bill, we got to take a break. When we come back, let's talk some Florida State football. It was the big game in Tallahassee last weekend, and the Noles come out on top and beat the Miami Hurricanes for the 6th straight time. We're going to talk about that when we come back right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us. We say it every week. We appreciate you tuning in as we talk some football, both in the college ranks and in the National Football League. But right now, let's talk some Seminole football. Bill, it was an exciting show that we did last Saturday morning. We knew it was game day. We knew it was Miami week versus Florida State under the lights, Dolt Campbell Stadium, ESPN, or I guess college football's A crew on hand, the country watching to see what's going to happen with this great rival. And it was a fantastic football game at one point, and really ebb and flow like they always have when it comes to Florida State, Miami, for the most part. One team gets up, the other team comes back. Florida State was up early, possible blowout, but that wasn't the case. Here comes Miami storming back. Lots of talent, lots of NFL talent on the football field. And here's what amazed me, Seminoleville. Out of all the great talent, I mean, first-round draft picks playing on this field, one guy just looked like he was head and shoulders above everybody else, stole the show. The guy that was questionable coming into the game, how shocked were you by how well Dalvin Cook played in that game?
Well, excuse me. I sat there with the rest of Section 29 and up in our area, and we all were just ecstatic as fans and alumni that Dalvin was just at the game on the field. You know, at first it looked like it was interesting because it was almost like a chess match. Coach, really, you felt like, is Dalvin back there as a decoy? Is he really going to go? Because he didn't get any touches the first, you know, three, four balls. And he just kept moving around. So I was like, wow, this is either really brilliant gamesmanship or coach is setting them up for something. And looky, looky, bite the cookie, up the road he goes on that long, long run. Beautiful job. Beautiful
job. I think everybody at home and then at the stadium probably said, it's about time we let Everett Golston roll out and give the option or do some kind of, running type play where he has the option to go or whatever the case is, makes a perfect pitch.
Wow.
And then similar, Bill, Cook is just downright electra.
Amazing.
Two running backs at Florida State I thought of. Two running backs, and tell me if you agree. Two running backs, Warrick Dunn and Leon Washington.
Yeah. You know what?
They know how to move forward
really
and move.
Has that. First off, the jump cuts and stuff, the stop and go, I don't know that I've seen, other than Warrick, and Warrick was a smaller back, anyone do that like Dalvin does. And I'll say this. God bless Leonard Fournette. He's a beast. But I'll tell you right now, you know, you get bigger boys, you might bring Fournette or slow him down, but you can't teach or preach how this kid cuts. It's just, it's on the dime and giving you change, and it leaves people looking very foolish. And Golson, God bless him, did a great job. I'm gonna tell you, he sold that thing, and that's the type of guy he can be for us. And he carried out his assignment. I really didn't realize, neither none of us, most of us didn't at first, that he got that pitch away. I thought he got creamed so hard there, and then all of a sudden you see jetting down the side of number four, and you knew when he reached the end zone, our cook was in the kitchen, and that's what we wanted to see. Because I'm going to tell you, the rest of the game was just the same, except for one long play where he pulled up a little bit, and he said later that he did that because he felt it, you know, coming on a little bit. He wanted, you know, dial it down. Very smart use of Dalvin.
He was gone. He was gone too on that similar bill.
Oh,
he was gone.
No, don't worry.
They weren't going to catch him. He split him. He was hauling butt.
That's the part that hurts, because there was, you know, like you said earlier, there were so many times in that game. The ebb and flow of that game was an old school Miami FSU. It was not, you know, the blowout, you know, that could have been. But it was old school. It had that feel like, okay, we're taking your shots, but we're still here. And that's the one thing I tell people around me, we're talking, I said, you cannot keep counting on, even though we got a great field goal kicker, you cannot trade touchdowns for field goals. Finish, 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 because we know, we all know, the reason you got to finish Miami, because they always have in the back of their mind that they don't care we're FSU. They've beaten us enough times in enough ways to know that anything can happen in this series. You know what I'm saying? So you definitely, you finish. And, you know, fortunately.
And that was worrying everybody too, Seminole Bill. I think you hit the nail right on the head when it came to, you can't just kick field goals. And that was one thing that was kind of shocking, that Florida State has been really, really good in the red zone this year. And they struggled big time against Miami. But the good news for Florida State, and I hate when people say, well, you know, Cook's carrying them. So what? That's what great players do.
You help carry
the football team. They turn it into a, what bothers me is something they turn it into like a negative. I'm thinking, are you crazy? Well, that's what you do.
If you're going to preach about Cook carrying the offense for FSU, then you turn around right back and say LSU does the same thing with Fournette. If it wasn't for Fournette,
I'd much rather have Golson as the quarterback than Brandon Harris for LSU.
Yeah, you know
the jury's out on Brandon Harris. The jury's not out on Golson, because he's been there, done that with Notre Dame, and he's proven he can throw the football. And now let's see if that playbook has been opened up some, and let's see what Golson is made out of possibly 2 weeks in a row as they get ready to take on Louisville. Let's talk about Louisville in 1 second, Seminole Bill, but in closing, your thoughts on Florida State knocking off Miami and how the team played overall. The only thing that bothered me a little bit is I really wish they had started getting some of those freshmen, especially the Tavarius McFadden, the five-star freshman defensive back. I wish they had started getting them in there some, because at times, you know, the Tyler Hunter was really exposed, but it's just, he's just not that good to go cover some of these elite guys.
Yeah, Kaya was look, credit where credit's due. Kai is a heck of a quarterback. He was getting blasted after getting rid of the ball often. He does not like to run outside the pocket, fortunately for us. He likes to stay in the pocket. But he knows how to manipulate that pocket. He got the ball to the right guys. When our guy got thrown out in the first
Trey Marshall.
I'm sorry. I wanted to say almost Maddox. Nick Maddox splashed in. Trey Marshall, when he got thrown out, that was a huge loss for us, and it changed the schematic of the defense. And instead of them being more aggressive as they may have wanted to be, and you know, those matchups weren't favoring us because those guys are bigger, you know, their receivers are big dudes. Instead of being a little bit more aggressive and maybe bringing more heat, we couldn't rely on that, because once you move one of your commanders out of there for the rest of the game, that was it. And that was part of what was happening there. But Kaya was great, you know, give him props. We held up the running game. We talked about this before. The running game normally dictates who wins that ball game, and sure enough, you know, the other aspect of Miami was they could not run the ball on our defense. Our guy on the other side, also guys on the other side, when they couldn't get to Kaya, they were knocking balls down, and man, they just got their hands up like they should.
They did. They knocked them down, and they knocked them around an awful, awful lot. And one thing was in some of the Bill, then we got to talk real quick about the upcoming game this week against Louisville, is that, you know, I'm pretty sure that at Miami Central, at one point in time, it was Devontae Freeman It was Dalvin Cook and it was Joseph Yearby all in the backfield at the same time.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that's what the case was. That holy smokes!
Yeah.
No wonder they won 3 state titles.
That's a machine right there, man. You know.
Yeah.
You're right. Look at Louisville. What's coming in? You know, Mark. You know that they're undervalued.
Are you nervous? Should Florida State be on upset alert? Taking on Louisville this week.
Look, early game versus a late game. All the heroics. All the drama. All the emotion of a rivalry game. If this ain't the Pop-Tart, watch out for what you're going to eat. You better be looking at what's on the plate. Louisville is not going to be an easy pork chop to digest. You're going to have to play some ball and carve them up and do exactly what you did against Miami and finish them off, or they can beat you.
And one other thing, Silver Bill, does the Wake Forest game help out Florida State at all? Because Wake Forest kind of had that running quarterback at times. That's what Louisville seems to be all about with their quarterback. Do you think that game's going to help out Florida State getting ready for that running-type quarterback?
To some extent, yes, because you've seen it. You've seen some guys that move around the pocket. Kyle was a pure pocket passer. Got to switch gears a little bit. But, yes, it should. I think if we play the same way we played against Miami, we win the ball game. That's just the bottom line. We got to play with that kind of determination and that heart. We cannot think that Louisville comes in here. They lost too many ball games by too close a score. They know that they can win those games, and so we don't want to give them anything to feed on. You know, especially since it's an early game and coming off this big win. So let's just kind of put your foot on the throat and step on it.
Good analysis, some of the goal. Okay, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, let's talk some Tampa Bay Buccaneer football with Mark Floyd's locker room report. Locker room report, all that coming up next, right here on the Mark Floyd Show. Stay with us.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of the Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for the Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
Hey, Buccaneer fans, it's time to head to Mark Lloyd's locker for the Bucs Report right here on Freedom 93 FM. Take it, Mark.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Seminole Bill. The Bucs improved the record to 2-3 on the season with a nice victory last week, 38-31 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's kind of a battle of Florida, the state of Florida quarterbacks, and the previous top two quarterbacks taken in the draft. It was Blake Bortles out of UCF, who was drafted last year at number 3 overall, I'm pretty sure, for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and had a nice rookie season and really seems to be improving as time goes on. I really like that quarterback a lot. Of course, taking on Jameis Winston of the Buccaneers, the number 1 pick this past year. And it was a weird game, Seminole Bill. The Bucs put up 38 points, but there wasn't like any huge stats. Like, Winston had a productive game. He threw for over a couple hundred yards, had one touchdown, no interception. So once again, there's... For the country that doesn't know Jameis Winston, that's what makes Jameis so great. The week before, awful. awful. Four interceptions all over the place. He comes back this week. It wasn't like he was gun-shy, because he's still trying to throw the ball downfield, and you and I still have a problem with the receivers not catching the ball. Like Mike Evans seems to drop a few every single game. Even Vincent Jackson drops the ball. And even the announcer said, Seminole Bill, the receivers really got to bring their A game and try to help out their rookie quarterback. But Winston is able to bounce back, and they improved the 2-3 on the season. So I'm pretty sure they've already tied last year's win total, plus they stopped an 11-game home losing streak in Winston's in only his fifth game as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Assess the game from last week.
Well, it's like we just said. The star of this game really was, you know, I would say was Martin. I mean, is you know, another 100-yard game this past week. You know, he ran hard. I think he netted 3 TDs, if I remember correctly. Is that right? And he played like we expected him to play. Right. He's moving along, yeah. And he's doing a great job. And, you know, caught a couple balls out of the backfield. Charles Sims, you know, contributed as well, you know, the other running back.
Well, he won. Hey, Bill, let me ask you a question. Hey, boy, I know Doug Martin is running hard. Charles Sims seems like he's a heck of a football player. Like, he really, really runs hard, and it seems like he's just giving great effort every time he's out there. I like him. What's your thoughts on Charles
Sims?
Yeah,
again, another guy that's coming along. You know, looking at some stats, averaged 4.2 yards per attempt. He didn't have as many, you know, touches as Doug, but he got it 12 times and, you know, 51 yards. So, again, when those things are happening and you're able to kind of control the tempo of the defense on the other side of the ball because you're able to run that ball, that's huge. And the line, you got to give props to the line for you know, giving the guys the holes. It maybe now the things are starting to come together a little bit better. And Jameis, man, is the game great. I mean, he didn't have to go out of his comfort zone. He learns how to check things down and just make the right calls and you know, follow a script to some extent and get the ball in the hands of the guys to help you get that victory, because you've got to have balance in this league. It can't be all, you know, up to Jameis, not this early, to do it all on himself. So that balance was real good. Defensively, you know, they also stepped it up on the other side, and it looks like if they can just play with this intensity, they should be able to at least be in most ball games rather than just be, you know, be looking up at a scoreboard or a loss. That's what's important, knowing that they're competitive and that they can pick some wins up in these type of ball games.
I think you're right, Seminole Bill. I mean, the Bucs are on the lower end of the NFL. There's no doubt about that. But I think they're able to be competitive with most teams. I think there's probably 5 or 6 teams that they won't be competitive in. And we know who that is. That's the teams like the Packers of the world with Rodgers. That's the Bradys of the world. You know, teams like that that are – when Roethlisberger is out there playing, I don't see him to be competitive with the top-notch quarterbacks yet. But Winston, 56% on the season so far is his completion percentage, so not bad. He's thrown for almost 1,200 yards. He has 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He's been sacked 11 times, which is a lot. So he's having a – I think he's having a above-average right now rookie season. But at the end of the day, Somerville, what's most important is wins and losses. And they already have 2 wins, which equals last year's total. Now, I want to jump to the other side of the ball real quick. And the Bucs defense really got off to Blake Bortles. I know there's 31 points up on the board, and I know at times Bortles lit him up through the air, but they did get to him 6 times. They sacked Blake Bortles 6 times, and you always mention about maturing and growing as the season goes on, and it looks like the Bucs, at least getting after the quarterback, they did a heck of a job.
Yeah, they really did. And that's, again, this team still has, you know, it's a youthful bunch, and youth in terms of playing together, you know, everything coming together under this new system. And we're going to see if this continues to evolve with Lovie as the head guy. Then, you know, if they can pick up a few more wins and finish this season up strong, and no one thought they were going to be in the playoffs this year, no one, not even not ownership, no one, but look like they're on the right path, then, you know, you see Lovie come back, And everything integrate, and you get, you know, pick up some more guys next year. This team's on the right course. If they falter or things don't go quite as well, then, you know, is ownership patient enough to let Lovey do what he, you know, what he wants to do? Because he's had a lot of hand into these players and the people he's revolved around, some that, you know, didn't pan out that he wanted and for his system already, and others that he wants to, you know, get in here and work with. So all said and done, the bottom line is if they keep moving in the right direction, then no one should be disappointed if they, you know, they up their win total, they you know, got rid of the home losing streak, and they should be competitive in most ball games. That's what you want to see this year for the Bucks, and next year is a bigger year. You expect a lot more.
Yep, you're absolutely right. The Bucks have a bye week, but the next game is October 25th at the Redskins, and we'll get into that game next week. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, some NFL football, plus our water check, plus our fitness tip, and, of course, our entertainment segment, The Walking Dead's premiere took place this past Sunday. All that coming up next right here on The Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us on Freedom 93. And you've been doing it for over a year now, so we do appreciate the loyalty every single week. Now at 8 o'clock, we've varied a few times on Saturday mornings, maybe 10 o'clock at one point, 9 o'clock. Where we found a home right now at 8 o'clock, Cinema Bill. And we always do our water check and our fitness tip right now. So real quick on the water check, and it's just crucial time for Thomas Eric, who's out there working hard outside a lot, exploring new adventures in his life right now. So our water check is how much water we consume in a 24-hour period, because it's always very important. We try to drink at least a gallon. I am at 128 ounces today, so I'm right on target with a gallon of water. So, Bill, where are you at?
Oh, my goodness. 120.
120, not bad for the big fellow that's up in Tallahassee. Tell me, Eric, who's over in Pensacola right now. Where did you come at?
I'm at body weight right now, so I'm ahead of both of you.
Whoa.
Holy smokes!
You know what? We need to send to Pensacola more often.
I know. What do you want? What is that? 130
I'm
something?
I'm at 145.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what, Simon Bill?
If I had a
button to press like the world, that's a world record for the Mark Lloyd Show.
You need the applause meter. You know, the applause meter. You know?
Yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know what? Yeah. Like I said, we have to send them way more often. You know, maybe Grandpa and his uncle over there are getting on him. You know, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know, but that's fantastic. Way to go. Okay, he's drinking lots of water. Now let's talk about our fitness tip real quick. And this week, Simon Bill, it comes about. It's all about high reps and quick intervals. So I want you out there, Simon Bill, and what Men's Fitness says is try to get yourself about 15 to 20 reps, but only take 30-second breaks. So the workout should be reduced down to about 30 minutes. but you should be able to go for through a full body part in 30 minutes if you're being very efficient, between 30 and 45 seconds in between sets. So
wow.
Why don't you try that out this week? I know you're experimenting with all kinds of things, so give that a go, okay, my friend?
I will give it a shot.
All right. All right, let's talk some NFL before we get to The Walking Dead, which, by the way, crushed the competition this past Sunday when it came to the ratings. But some, once again, some nice games this week. Your Steelers coming off a big victory.
I told
last
you.
Last week led by. Yes, you did. You picked it. Hey, man, you picked it.
See, I said it was going to be a close game and the Chargers should win, but I hope I was wrong. Thankfully, someone
and
up there was listening.
That's right. But now you got your work cut out. I know you're at home, but you still have Michael Vick starting. And guess who comes to town? The high-flying Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
The Cardinals on the road, at Heinz Field, is favored by 3.5 points. That's
yeah.
pretty impressive.
That is
for the
very
Cardinals.
Impressive.
Who wins that game? Who wins, Seminole Bill?
I'm sorry. You don't come in to Three Rivers.
Oh,
saying,
I like
Field.
That.
You just don't do it and slap the black and gold around after a road win. They're going to be ready. I'm sorry, Arizona. You know, that was another home for us. But I think you've met your match this week, even with Vic at the helm. I think the Steelers take it.
Even with Vic at the helm.
Give me the
okay.
points in the Steelers.
All right, there you go. All right, another interesting football game is the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals on the road against a 3-2 Bills team that we all know the Bills are known for their defense. The Bengals right now are known for their high-flying offense. Andy Dalton already over 1,500 yards, 11 touchdowns, extremely efficient. He's 108 out of 160 on the season passing, which is incredible. Who wins this game, Seminole Bill?
You know what? I'm going to pick an upset here in the Bills. For some reason, I'm feeling the Bills ready to rise up and give these
okay.
guys their first loss. They have to lose sometime. They're not going through the season undefeated, and this might be one of them.
I like that. I like that a lot. Okay. There's a game that you might think it's a mismatch, but the Cleveland Browns are playing decent football. They're 2-3 on the season so far, and they seem to be competitive. In comes the undefeated Denver Broncos, who their defense is playing lights out, but their offense is normal, I guess you could say. Their offense, Seminole Bill, is actually normal like the rest of the NFL, but we're so used to them being so good on offense that we say they're struggling. But that's an interesting game. Them at Cleveland, the Broncos are favored by 4.2 wins the game.
Yeah, you know, it is an interesting game, but I think the Broncos get to dial up one more week and stay undefeated.
Nice. Okay. All right. One more game. Then we're going to talk about the Walking Dead. In this game, it's another undefeated team, and they're traveling to Seattle. Seattle is 2-3. On the season right now. That's right. The Seahawks, predicted by a lot, to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
They are 2-3 on the year. The Panthers are undefeated right now, and it's really shocking. They're playing some good defense, yet they're hampered. I mean, Luke Kuechly, the best linebacker in the NFL, hasn't played in like 3 or 4 weeks because of the concussion. Also, Charles Johnson, the outstanding defensive end / tackle, has not played. He's not due back for a few more weeks, but they're still winning. Who wins this game, Seminole Bill?
This one's interesting. It really is because Carolina's really, to me, overachieving without their one of their star players. And that's, you know, give Cam some props and the whole team. But now we find ourselves in a desperation mode for the Seahawks. They have to win this game. The crowd knows it. They are loud, like a college environment up there. I think the Seahawks upset Carolina. It's tough on the road, especially at this place. If the crowd, you know, gets a little bit of into this ball game, then it can really be disorienting for the best of teams. And I think Carolina has been riding on a lot of emotion, and this may be again where they take their first loss.
Okay, I like that, Seminole Bill. So Seattle wins at home.
Yes.
All right, guys, The Walking Dead. We've been waiting for a long time. The Walking Dead premiered this past Sunday to a lot of ballyhoo, I guess you could say. It was number one rated show on all television, even though it's on AMC. It beat the NFL, and that was the two big markets playing, San Francisco and the Giants. It beat all baseball. It beat everybody. It was an hour and a half long, which was really great because that's what we always talk about is why is it a little longer sometimes. And what they did was interesting. They did kind of like a flashback, and then in present time, all they just kept on going back and forth, and they used a black and white effect to give the illusion of going back. And it was neat how they found this quarry and how they released all these walkers, and they kind of showed to us why that place, Alexandria, why there's no walkers really ever around. It's because they were all trapped in that area, but they decided to let them out because they figured eventually they're going to get out based on what they're looking at. And they had a plan, and now it looks like it's gone awry, and they're in deep trouble.
It does not look good for the good guys.
Well, first of all, what did you guys think of the episode? Were you happy? I mean, I thought it was fantastic. Did you guys enjoy it?
Definitely enjoyed it. That ending kills me, man. That's what they do with every episode. It kills me.
Yeah, they did a good job. You're curious about what's going to happen. They killed off a character that's been on there for about 6-7 episodes. The one guy that was doubting Rick, so he didn't have to kill him after all.
Yeah.
So he ends up getting his killed on the show. So they did kill off somebody, and you have to wonder what's going to happen now when it comes to all those walkers. I mean, thousands of them. It was the most walkers they've ever had on the show at one time, which I thought was really cool. But all of them now headed towards Alexandria. And from previews that they've always have shown, it looks like that city's under attack, and it seems like that there's a breakout. And then I guess the bottom line is, last thing, in closing, who's honking the horn? Where's the horn coming from?
Yeah, that's...
Terminus, what's your guess? What's your guess, Terminus, and then we'll go to Seminole Bill. Is it the Wolves? Is it Ronald? You know, the Pete, the guy Pete, the dad that died, that Rick shot in the head? Is it his son that did it? Where's the horn coming from?
I think it's Gabriel, the priest.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Oh, that was out of left field. That's
because he offered the help, and Rick immediately shut him down and said, nope, anybody else?
That's right. That could be.
They made a point of doing that. You know what, though? That's really interesting, Terminus. Good job, man. You know what, Seminole Bill? They made a point of showing Gabriel's face.
Yeah, they did.
And made a point of saying that. Why? Everything has to do with foreshadowing. So maybe that's who's honking the horn. Holy smokes, Terminus Eric. Good one. I'm thinking maybe the Wolves or Ronald. You know, I'm thinking it's one of those two things. So, Bill, what's your guess? Now, I mean, I might have to go with what Terminus said.
That's a good one. That's a good third. I was thinking the son of the one that was killed.
Yeah.
Other, and again, I can't remember. I'm going back thinking. Was the one that... The other guy that was from the Alexandria city, the one that went after and tried to kill one of the main characters. I apologize, I can't remember the Asian character. I apologize.
Oh, him, that, yeah. No, he was out there.
He's still there with them. They're battling, but wasn't there a third guy that used to hang with them that I haven't seen that person, and also felt that
he's the guy. The third guy is the guy that asked Gabriel at the end of the season finale last year, hey, Father, can I pray with you?
Yes.
Something like
that. That's
I know what you're talking about. I don't think. You think him? I think
I don't know.
There could be no reason for him to do that. Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
I'm sticking with the son right now, but I think Terminus is onto something.
Yeah, I do too. That's really good. All right, guys, we're out of time. Great show. As always, we appreciate everybody out there in Radio Land listening to us. Go Noles as they take on Louisville at noon today. So have a great game day. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. So for Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric, I'm Mark Lloyd. We'll talk to you next week right here on the Mark Lloyd Show on Freedom 93 FM.